What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Masters University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford. I am your host, and this is part two of a two-part series on addressing manipulative people. Man, even just saying that topic kind of makes you go, oh, ow, I'm not hungry anymore. This was born out of emails from you, and I do think it's a very practical question to answer. Many of us have been in environments where folks have attempted to manipulate us, and we'll explain more of that here in a second. So you're having to just ask, Lord, what do I do? You know, do I just get my baseball bat and start swinging, and on my baseball bat, I'm just attacking, I'm counterattacking. You manipulate me, I hurt you. Why? Yeah. No, that's not what the scripture calls us to do. We're not Denzel Washington. Remember, I said that in the last episode. We're not the equalizer. I'm not out like setting all the woes of the world straight. And yet there's also a level of knowing what to practically do. Like, how do I confront this and how do I address this with people? In the last episode, I said there are narcissistic people. That's one of the questions you wrote in with, is narcissists, those that are self-absorbed. It's all about them. Some of it can be looks, obviously, but some of it is just comfort, their preference, perspective, whatever that is, that's a narcissist. Gaslighter, the person that makes you think you're going crazy and they blame it on you and they actually begin to manipulate your own reason against you. In a time when you are now actually drawing into question your own faculties, someone is gaslighting you. Blame shifters or counterattackers, that's the person where you're going in to confront them and they counter-confront and you end up admitting fault and they don't admit anything. And you're like, wait a minute, I went to confront you and I left being the one who sought forgiveness. You ever experienced that? That is the counterattacker, blame shifter type. They just cannot admit it. And then obviously the emotionally manipulative person, to include child. We have children, meaning minors, that have just learned how to manipulate people with their emotions. So who are these people in our lives? Bosses. We've worked for employers like this. Some of us struggle with spouses that can be manipulative. Boyfriend, girlfriend, that you're dating a person that errs towards manipulative. And this is something that I'll address here in a minute, but children can be this. I think children default to this, especially if they just learn that when they cry, you back off, or when they get mad, you back off. Then children will just slowly learn to be manipulative over time. And then there are spiritual leaders, unfortunately, that have done this. And some have even used their leadership positions to be coercive or to guilt and to go beyond what the scripture actually says, or as Paul says, to go beyond what is written. So when you're interacting with someone and maybe you're suspect that they're manipulative, or maybe it's no suspicion, it's full-blown fact they're manipulative, I want you to imagine that you're at the beach for a second. And some of you live in coastal towns like myself, or some of you might live where there's a lake. Think of entering into the ocean, and when you go out and your back is at the shore and you are facing the water, what happens is you can go out and swim, start to piddle around, and then before long, you just realize that you've drifted and now you're 50 yards away from your stuff or 100 yards. And I remember even as kids, we would have to turn around and look back and try to find our umbrella and make sure that we didn't drift too far. When folks are in manipulative relationships, I think what happens over time is that they've just allowed a drift to start to take place. And they don't realize how far they've gone until something really goes haywire. So you've just been counter-accused so many times that you just start to accept the responsibility of apologizing, even for things you didn't really do. Okay, fine. Or that you've just been married to someone that they get pouty for 3 days and you just go in and just find some reason to say you're sorry so you can break the ice with them. So in that way, I think you've drifted a bit far. And how do you help orient yourself back to the truth of Scripture and what God would want you to do? Well, let me give you just a couple of principles to follow. And in this first segment, I'm going to use the idea of role clarity, number one. By role clarity, I've talked about this inadvertently on Transform many times. I teach about it at the Master's University in our marriage and family class. By role clarity, I just mean identify how that person relates to you and expect what God expects of them. So if this is my spouse, for instance, then I'm well aware and acquainted with Ephesians 5, and I expect that they're going to treat me according to Ephesians 5. And if they're a girlfriend or boyfriend, then I'm going to expect that they treat me like a brother or sister in Christ, because I'm only dating Christians in the first place. So that's what I expect of them. If they're a boss, Colossians 4:1, then I expect that they treat me like a boss should treat their employer. So, or their employee, excuse me. So when I understand their role toward me, it begins to give me godly expectations. There are sensitive people in this world, and sensitive people in this world do have to plus up, or they do have to grow in being consistent by informing their expectations with the truth of Scripture. And there are other people that have been taken advantage of so long that we would say you also need to plus up your expectations with the truth of Scripture. It is not okay for your wife to treat you that way, or it's not okay for your husband to treat you that way. It's not okay for your children who are minors living at home to treat you that way. It's not okay for your boss to treat you that way. And how do you know that? Well, it's not my social preferences. It's not my army background that informs it. It's the Scripture. I know that according to the Scripture. So the Scripture is the authority. The Scripture is the litmus test for how we know the way that we should be relating to each other. So once that is happening, then you're going to have clarity in your expectations of other people. So then the next step, which is number two, is that you're going to work on godly confrontation skills. Let's not burn it down with our tongues. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Proverbs 16, 21, the wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. When a person is not treating you according to the Scripture, you do have a responsibility to go to them and say something. That's Matthew 18, verse 15. Matthew 18, 15 says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. Boom. That's it. That's confrontation, private, personal. We're not doing this in front of the family at the Thanksgiving dinner table, that we're learning that skill of how to confront people. So godly confrontation skills. So what does that mean? When you're not acting according to the Word of God in your role toward us, we're going to graciously, in a sweet and persuasive way, bring that up and say, hey, the other day you were super rude to me. And I don't know if that was your intent or not, but the way you were coming across is like I was your enemy, or I'm not for you in some way. We're trying to couch this in the most gracious language that we can. Now, with manipulative people, I'm convinced that you have to be very firm, but that doesn't mean that you're unloving. You have to be very direct and very clear, but that does not mean that you're unloving. Your speech is always seasoned with grace. So you're never at one point saying, well, I'm going to let it rip on them because they deserve it. Wah, beep, 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 boop. No, that's not godly communication on your part. So you have crossed the line in the role that you are called to relate to me in, and then now I'm going to graciously bring this up. The secular world, psychology and therapy, would use the idea of boundaries, establishing boundaries with people. But biblically, we're just talking about roles and godly confrontation. So I wouldn't say boundaries, I would say role clarity. And you know how to expect from that person what God expects of them. The only other thing that I would add to this idea of godly confrontation skills, and I do think there is a part of this, in Acts chapter 16, we saw that Paul was imprisoned, and he was imprisoned in an illegal way. He was flogged, thrown into the Philippian jail. Remember, this is the narrative where the Philippian jailer is converted because Paul doesn't leave when he could have. What happens is the magistrates come to him. This is Acts 16, verse 36. The magistrates come to him and says, you can go in peace. But Paul says to them, verse 37, they have beaten us publicly, uncondemned, men who are Roman citizens, and have thrown us into prison. And do they now throw us out secretly? No, let them themselves come and take us out. Paul is standing up for his legal rights. His legal rights. You have illegally beaten us, thrown us into jail, and now you just want us to quietly leave town. Forget about it. So what do you expect? You expect people to treat you according to the Bible. And in America, we expect people to treat us according to our legal rights. So if I go home today and there's someone living in my front yard in a tent, I'm going to say, hey, bud, sheriff's coming. You can get your stuff and go, or the sheriff can do it for you. Why? Because I expect of them that they would fulfill, they would treat me according to my legal rights as well. And I think you can find that evidence in Acts 16. So number one, develop role clarity. Number two, develop godly confrontation skills according to the Bible and legal rights. So we got to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to continue with how do we confront manipulative people.
And we will be back in just a moment with more from Dr. Gifford, continuing to talk about manipulative relationships and confrontation. But first, I want to highlight some resources available in the Transform store at transform.org, the first of which is a book by Lou Priolo, Pleasing People, How Not to Be an Approval Junkie. This book takes square aim at a problem that is common in all of us, and that's the desire to be liked by others. Pleasing People by Dr. Lou Priolo, available now in the Transform store at transform.org. And the next thing that I want to do is to ask you to prayerfully consider joining us as a gospel partner. It is your support that helps us continue producing the valuable resources that we're able to produce, like Transformed, Wretched Radio, and TV. You can find out any answer to any question you have about what it would look like to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner on our website at transformed.org. And something else we're very excited about here at Transformed is our partnership with the Masters University. Did you know that the Masters University is ranked 6th in the nation for career preparation? That's according to the Wall Street Journal. That is a really, really, really big deal. And with academic scholarships of over $20,000 per year, there is no reason not to apply. If you're a young believer preparing for college, there's no better place than TMU. Find out more right now at masters.edu/transformed. And lastly, for those of you who might be interested in becoming biblical counselors, salute to you, because we have a dire need for more biblical counselors and more biblical counseling ministries in our churches. And we offer fantastic resources at transform.org to help get you started on that path, one of which is Christ-Centered Biblical Counseling, edited by Bob Kelman and Steve Fiers. It is cumulative wisdom of almost 40 contributors with exceptional credentials and experience. You'll discover a valuable model for counseling that explains the why and how of biblical counseling. You can pick up Christ-Centered Biblical Counseling by Bob Kelman and Steve Viers right now from the Transform store at transformed.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford in the second half of this week's episode as he continues to look into the issue of manipulative relationships and confrontation. This is Transform. Welcome back to Transform.
The Bible never commands us to love ourselves. Our problem isn't that we don't love ourselves enough. The problem is actually that we love ourselves too much.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back. Thank you, Jimmy. In our last segment, we have some work to do, people. Cracking knuckles. Insert that noise here. Oof, that last one didn't sound good. Okay, in my first segment, I said, here is how we want to graciously think about this. You're at the beach, you're drifting, you're allowing people to treat you in a way that doesn't correspond to the scripture. It doesn't correspond to being an American citizen or wherever you might be a citizen of. So you're drifting a little bit. Now turn around and orient yourself back to the scripture. Begin to expect of people what God expects of them in his word. So number one, develop role clarity. Number two, develop godly confrontation skills of manipulative people. And you will have to be clear and firm, but you're still godly and gracious, doing your best to be persuasive. All right. Now, number three, and you're going to like this one. I think you are. I'm trying to put words to what you would probably do anyways. Number three, redefine roles if you're not treating according to the scripture. Redefine roles if you're not being treated according to the scripture. What does that mean? Well, I went to you. I confronted you. I told you that I didn't appreciate being screamed at in public. And then you counterattacked me and blamed me for provoking you. Bum, bum, bum. Well, if that's what's going to happen, then the nature of our relationship is that we are unreconciled. We are not back to where we were. We actually have aught between us. So when a person sins against another person, the Bible uses this idea of a debt that is created. So what is forgiveness? The cancellation of a debt. In Matthew 18, this is the way that Jesus talks about it. So let me turn there. Matthew 18, verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Not if he pauses and allows you to process the sound so that they can hear it, but that he actually turns from and stops committing that sin against you. Great, you've gained your brother, you forgive them, and you move back into relationship with them. So if you have a brother that hears you out, says, I am so sorry for talking to you like that. You have a spouse that says, you know what, you're right, that was wrong of me, I am so sorry, I should not do that, I'm genuinely repentant, and they demonstrate that. What do? We forgive them and we are reconciled. What do we do if they say, this isn't my fault, this is your fault? Why are you blaming me for your problems? Uh-oh, how do you always come to me and blame me for stuff when this is, in fact, you? Uh-oh, problem. We are going to redefine that relationship and we are not reconciled until we can cancel that debt, which entails them repenting and turning from their sin. So why do we articulate this? Because we're not being resentful. I'm not clinging to all the wrongs that you've done. I'm just saying, hey, I'm ready to forgive you, but you wronged me. And we have to cancel that before we can move forward in our relationship. So there are friends that you're going to lose because they're going to counterattack you and say, nope, your fault. And that stinks, man. That stinks. There are boyfriends and girlfriends that you should break up with because they're going to counterattack you and say, this isn't my fault. This is your fault. There are new employers that you're going to search out because you're redefining that relationship. And if you go to your boss and you say, hey, boss, you've actually sinned against me and my family in this way. And they say, too bad. Talk to HR. Indeed.com. Go ahead and slide that LinkedIn account over to looking and interested. We are going to be open to moving to a new employer just because of the way that you're treating us in an unfair, unbiblical, and maybe even an illegal way. So that is number three, redefine the role if you're not treated according to scripture. Number four, surround yourself with a wise plurality of counselors if you are being manipulated. Don't believe what the manipulator is telling you apart from someone else that you trust affirming that, okay? So if this is in the context of marriage, and this is not to demonize guys, because I know women can be manipulative. There are certain ladies out there. So what does that look like? Well, hey, my husband is telling me I am this. Then you go to a godly sister in Christ and say, is this true? Do you also believe this to be true about me? And if she's like, you know what? He's right. He's right, honey. What he's bringing up is true. Okay. This isn't him being manipulative. But if she's like, no way, like that's not true. I've never seen you do that. No one else thinks that about you. He's the only one to ever say that about you. Okay. Then I am not going to believe what the manipulator is saying without someone else ratifying this or this being a clear issue of the scripture. Clear issue of the scripture. So that wise plurality of counselors will help prevent you from taking on more guilt than is yours to take on. And I've seen it happen where you just start apologizing for looking in his direction. You sneezed in the room and it's your fault for provoking someone. So how dare you confess your sins of sneezing? So surround yourself with a wise group of people that will help protect you from taking on more manipulation and being manipulated. Don't trust yourself. Do not trust yourself. If you trust yourself to be able to handle that, especially if this has been going on for years, I think you're mistaken. I think you'll get manipulated again, unfortunately. All right. Number five. So number three, redefine roles. Number four, surround yourself with wise peers. Number five, recognize that this is a character issue that requires God to change them. Character is a way of life. You have developed a way of living, and that way of living now is actually affecting the day-to-day. So your character is not something you did in one incident. It's something that you've done over time. So for you to be a gaslighter, blame shifter, counterattacker, manipulator, for you to be that, that means you now have done this multiple times and this is becoming part of your character. So apart from God, this person is not going to change. We need God to break up ungodly character. We need God to cause conviction through the work of the Holy Spirit and the means of His Word. We need God to do these things in the manipulative person's heart. And we can't. We can't do that. But what we can do is have clear expectations of how we'll be treated. And we can have clear expectations of the way that you will talk to us. We can have that and be godly simultaneously. So apart from God, this person is not going to change. So hear me on this. Hear me. And guys, I'm not a skeptical. In fact, I'm often a person who's overly charitable in motivations and overly positive. So I'm not a skeptic, but hear me on this. When we're addressing manipulative people, part of this recognition that God has to change them is that I, just because I see a tear doesn't mean that they are changed. Just because they bought me a dozen roses and said they're so sorry doesn't mean that they are changed. You've heard of the Unabomber? This is the love bomber. I am so sorry. Here's your platinum watch as a means of my repentance. Here's all of the flowers in the world to show you. It's like, those are great. My favorite color is purple. They smell the best. But that is not evidence of you changing per se. If God is changing you, it will be demonstrated over time. And that manipulative person, most of the time, is not miraculously healed in an instant. So God is having to do that work of humbling them. So just guard your heart from the love bomber, that person that they manipulate you, they hurt you, they sin against you, they're coercive, and then all of a sudden they buy you this sweet gift and you're like, wow, they love me. Ah, oh, she knows I love golf clubs. If that's you, then I think you're going to get manipulated again. So God is the one that brings about change, and that's demonstrated over time. So guard your heart to be discerning. Okay, redefine roles. Surround yourself with a wise plurality of counselors. Recognize God is the one that convicts and brings change. Number six, if this is a spouse, then I do think that it's at the point of getting your elders involved. And if you sense that you are being manipulated by your spouse, then be wise enough to say, hey, we're unable to deal with this. Let's get our elders involved and let's try to get our wise elders' input on this. And if you sense that you're being manipulated by an elder yourself, then are there other spiritual leaders in the church that can help you be restored to this brother and help confront this brother? And I do just want to be careful, because if you bring an accusation against an elder, there's two people that should come with that, according to 1 Timothy 5. So you want to be careful. But in the sense of, yeah, I'm not going to be manipulated by a spiritual leader either. We're going to go to our elders and get help with that. And godly elders will take that consideration and charge very, very, very seriously. They will not minimize you and dismiss you. Now, if it's a family member, if you came to me and you were like, Dr. Gifford, my mom and I, my sister-in-law and I, my brother-in-law, my brother, my auntie, cousin, and you're like, hey, we're at odds, I would most likely wave off and say, no, I'm so sorry, but I can't help engage in that. You can look for biblical counselors and conciliators to help you with siblings and cousins and parents, and even children. Adult children can be coercive and manipulative too. I would encourage you, if that person really does want to be restored to you, and most likely they don't, but if they do, then work with a biblical counselor or a conciliator, a certified one through ACBC who actually knows how to do this stuff. Then you can work through that. But family conflict is so difficult, guys, that most of the time we're just going to say, hey, we love you. We're always going to be a family, but we're not going to be friends because you're not investing in this relationship like a friend would. In the end, it takes two people to cultivate a godly friendship. It does. I can't do that. So if you're going to mistreat me and I've confronted you and you've counterattacked me, like, we're done. Like, this friendship is slowly coming to an end. And if I've done the same thing towards you, then I should expect that you wouldn't want to be around me at all. Like, that seems fair. It takes two people to cultivate godly friendship. So remember in the end, I said this last episode, our goal is to trust the character of God and respond in a godly way. So when you're dealing with manipulative people, God is just, He is the avenger, and you don't have to be. So let me pray for you that God would continue to give you clarity and strength and yet also graciousness in this. Lord, there are people listening to this episode and they are in the middle of manipulative circumstances. I pray that you would give them clarity from your word, that they would not be sensitive and overly resentful and bitter, but that they would have clear expectations and they would respond in ways that honor you and honor Jesus. Help the people in our life that struggle with manipulation to recognize this is the worst option, that they are hurting others and they're dishonoring you, Lord. But in the end, help us just to do our part to not become manipulators and to be gracious and loving in the way that we confront manipulators. And may this be done for your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, of course, is transformed.org, and it is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? And until next time, go serve your King.